born in Prestonwood. We're so glad you're here. Would you stand and worship with us? It's good to see you this morning. He's given us a testimony.
Darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. Sing it with us.
I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name.
Goodness. Aftonwood. We have 9 that are coming to profess their faith in believers' baptism. This is Jeff Simon. He is the father of Abigail.
Isabella
came to Christ through Freedom a week or two ago. She went home and shared it with her father, and now they're both being baptized. And so this is Jeff Simon.
This is Isabella Delgado.
This is Jake Small.
Because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And of course, all of these have great testimonies of how the Lord's changed their lives. This is Pam Loaysa.
And this is John Loaysa, the husband of Pam.
This is Sophie Chang.
Because of each of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 And this is Alexandria Arillo. Arillo?
This is Ariella. This is Letty Hanchy.
This is Kelsey Sinclair.
Because of each of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Man, how awesome is that? It's a great way to start our morning. Hey, before we do anything else this morning, why don't you do this? Find someone who is close to you. Go ahead and stand up, shake their hand, give them a high five, give them a fist bump, and tell them you're glad to see them this morning. All right, all right. Why don't you go ahead and find your seat.
16 years in the major leagues, a Texas Rangers Hall of Famer, a 3-time All-Star, a 6-time Gold Glover, a World Series champion with, well, a team other than the Rangers. Jim Sundberg is a winner through and through, but without the proper equipment, he could have never competed at the highest level as a catcher in the major leagues. In his powerful book, Equipped to Win, Suiting Up in the Armor of God for Spiritual Maturity, he looks at the interesting parallels between his equipment as a ball player and the armor of God for every believer of Christ. We are excited to welcome Jim Sundberg as guest speaker at Friday Morning Men's Bible Study. He'll explore the similarities outlined in this book to help further our walk as mature men of God. Come here from this Texas Ranger great on February 17th and 24th. And don't miss the chance to invite men to experience Prestonwood.
If you haven't been a part of Friday Men's Bible Study, men, I would encourage you to come on out. You know, for us Cowboys fans, there's some game on tonight that I don't care about. And so we're already moving on. There's 47 days till Ranger opening day. So we're moving. I see you, Ranger, representing out there already. So we're excited. Jim Sundberg's going to be a part of what you're doing. Some of you are rooting for the commercials tonight, so I understand that completely as well. How about our incredible student choir? I love them. Talk about the energy. I had to catch my breath just so I can go, because what I told many of our students from Prestonwood Christian Academy are in the student choir, but many of our schools are represented as well, and I love that we all come together to praise Jesus. Can I tell you, the future is, I get to see it every day, the future is incredibly bright because of young people just like this. Can you agree with me on that? However, I did promise them I would do the dance moves with them over there. And one, I can't dance, and I shouldn't have in a Baptist church. However, I am winded a little bit, so you'll have to excuse me. But I'm excited about them and them being able to continue to worship today. You're in for a huge treat today because you get a chance to hear from somebody that I look exactly alike. Many of you have asked me to sign his book before, and I did. And that's okay, too. Just go with it. But I can't wait for you to hear from Pastor Connor Bales from our North Campus and to be able to share with you a message of proclaim. Yeah, give him a big round of applause. You're going to want to fasten your seatbelts. It's amazing, and you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be thrilled about what our church collectively is doing through the Proclaim. It's amazing to have that. Pastor is up at the North Campus preaching today, and we're excited for that. But I wanted to also tell you, if you are a guest today, I just want to wave hi. Just wave at me and say hi. Because, hey, yes, represent, I love that. And those of you online, I would love to hear where you're watching from. We'd put that there in the comments. We'd love to do that. Now, you are online. Don't get this special treat that I'm going to give some of y'all. You're going to get a chance for those who are guests today. We've got a gift for you. If you'll go right out to Guest Central, you hear about that today, but go right out there. We've got New Believer Bible, all kinds of things. But I also, for you guests, for those who are going to wish you raised your hand, I got a coupon for a free buffet at Main Street today that we're going to give you out there. See, no, you can't raise your hand now. Don't do that. All of us, you've been here 25 years too. I know that for a fact. Okay. Also, we're given a special privilege next Sunday night, to be able to see a pre-screening of a movie before it goes out into theaters called The Jesus Revolution. And I have heard amazing things about it. Greg Laurie's going to be here as well to be able to share that with us. But it's like a family movie night. Y'all know you like that, right? And so we're going to open up Main Street around 4:30 as well. So if you want to come have a meal and exciting, have popcorn, we're going to have a great time watching a movie next Sunday night. And it's a pre-screening. Greg's chosen us to be able to do that and be able to share the message about the Jesus Revolution as well. And so I want you to be able to do that. I love that y'all's kids, many of you are here, that your kids are here, but you're throwing me off with my adult ADD because you're waving at your kids behind me. So, but what I would tell you is this, is I want to be able to go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to worship today and have our students kind of lead that piece of it. One thing I would ask you to really consider in your prayer time is really for the countries of Syria and Turkey right now. And really the tragedy that's happened because of the earthquake there as well. The numbers continue to come in on the lives that were lost and the families that were impacted. I will tell you from a church standpoint, we continue to support ministries that are going out and providing on-the-ground support there as well through our financial giving. I want to encourage you to do that as well. But what I will tell you is that we need to be lifting them up in prayer. It's a hurting nations that are over there as well. I love being able to do symbolic things, and one of the things I would ask, just as we go to prayer today, will you just maybe even lift a hand right in front of you just to receive the blessing that God has for you, but also as praise to Him as we go before Him today in our worthiness. Lord, we just ask you to go before us and to be able to place your hand, your countenance on the countries of Syria and Turkey as they are hurting, Lord, and just through this tragedy. Lord, just let your name be glorified in all things. Those who are there on the ground serving and being able to really not only save lives in the moment, but be able to minister to those who have had a loss. Lord, we just ask you to give them guidance and protection. Lord, we come to you with hands lifted high, and we just say, Lord, we ask that we find our complete worthiness in you and you alone. So many of us try to fill that void that we have in our lives with other things, Lord, but let us be reminded it is only you that can consume our heart and fill that void. Lord, there's a constant battle for our hearts and minds and our souls, for our families, for our schools, for our church, Lord. And we ask that we will go to battle. Gird us up, Lord, and prepare to go to battle for you and to be able to bring glory in your name in all things. As we proclaim your name today, give us the boldness and the courage to be your warriors. And everyone said, amen.
Would you join us in standing as we continue in worship? He is worthy. He's worthy.
I'm going to sing till my heart starts change. Oh, I'm going to worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel in the fear I'm faced doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises and bless. blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. Yeah. Worthy of my song. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. I'll never stop singing your praise. And when I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. If you wipe these tears away, I'll cry worthy. Above every other name, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. 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 I give you my worship. Oh, you still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises. The blessing and breaking.
Amen. Would you help me thank our next generation choirs one more time? What a great morning of worship. Woo! Man, you know, there's something just so powerful and transcendent and beautiful about worship. I believe music is, in fact, the language of God. And so if you'll indulge me a moment, music is transcendent across ages and stages. We've all been engaged in powerful worship led by the next generation of our church, even this morning. It also crosses abilities and disabilities alike. I want to illustrate that by showing you a video that was sent to Mary and me from our girls' school. This is my 11-year-old daughter at music therapy having a little worship service at school this week. Let me show you.
I have a song in my head.
That's my 11-year-old daughter, Hannah, worshiping Jesus at school this week. Kind of a proud parent moment for me. Some of you are immediately nervous because, yes, we're Baptist and she's dancing. She gets that charismatic from her mama. I'm going to be honest with you, all right? That's where she gets that dancing, is from her mama. I am so honored to be with you today. My name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor at the North Campus of our church. And Dr. Graham, as Mike mentioned a moment ago, is at the North Campus today sharing with them. And I have an opportunity to kind of share with you the vision we believe God has birthed in our hearts regarding the responsible, right, and faith-filled next step for the North Campus of our church. If you have your copy of God's Word, go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Let me just tell you a little bit as you're making your way to Matthew chapter 24, just why I'm so excited to share with you what God has next for us at the North Campus of our church. Because as Pastor has mentioned, no doubt in the weeks leading up to today, the North Campus is growing. The North Campus is growing. In fact, our average worship attendance every Sunday in the new year is just slightly more than 3,800 worshiping with us every single week. We are so grateful to God for that. Oftentimes, you don't know who considers themselves a part of your church family until you have a major church event. And 6 weeks ago, we had our Christmas Eve candlelight services. And did you know that 7,600 people came and lit their candles at the North Campus of Prestonwood? I'm so grateful for what God is doing in our church. And it's my joy to be here today to share with you the privilege that we have as a church to come alongside a work that Jesus declares God is going to do, that I believe it is not only our privilege to witness, but it is our privilege to work alongside of. And so in Matthew chapter 24, scholars tell us this is known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus didn't get a lot of his time in teaching on earth to last things or to the end of times, but he did devote a significant portion of a conversation that's recorded in Matthew 24 and 25 to talk about these things, because naturally the disciples had some curiosities, as do you and I, as to how will we know when you're going to return? How do we know when God is going to bring all things to an end? And Jesus said there are going to be some signs that you can pay attention to. Jesus said, in the midst of all the darkness, you'll be able to see the breaking of some light. But one statement that he makes right in the middle of Matthew chapter 24, a single sentence that is profound, that will be our verse of concentration today, because Jesus says that God is going to do something supernatural. And until that work is finished, he's not coming back. So Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, we always put the scriptures up on the screen behind me, or you can look on with someone sitting next to you. And if they will not share with you and you live with them, you need to schedule an appointment with us. Something's wrong, okay? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, if you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, and I always want to encourage you to do that, is underline that phrase, will be, and circle that word, proclaimed. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Underline that word, all. And then the end will come. One more time. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I'm going to share with you what I think are a few remarkable realities about this profound statement that Jesus makes. And then I'm going to give the balance of our time to explaining to you why I believe it is so significant for us. In other words, what does this profound declaration of Christ mean for you and I who call Prestonwood our church home? The first reality that I want to draw your attention to is that Jesus says that this work of God is not something that should be done. It's not something that might be done. He said it is a work, the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom is a work God will do. It is a work that God is going to do. And until God is finished with that proclamation, that declaration of the kingdom that changes and saves lives, then Christ is not going to return. So this is not something that we can manufacture. It's not something that we can make up, but rather it is a work, a divine work, a holy work that Jesus said God is going to do. And what's amazing is he's invited you and I to be a part. In fact, I think about it like this. If I get home from work one day and I see Mary has started preparing dinner and she's got groceries spread out on the countertop and she's already begun the preparation for the meal, and I walk in the door and then start to say, hey, here's what we're going to have for dinner now. Yeah, you're laughing because you know that's not going to go well. If I want to add any value into that equation, I simply need to put on an apron and get to work. Well, listen, the Bible tells us that God is cooking something of eternal value, and it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to put on the apron because he's called us to work, right? It's a gospel of the kingdom, and it's going to be proclaimed. It will be proclaimed. This is what Jesus has said. The second reality I want to draw your attention to is that this gospel that Jesus declares is going to be proclaimed, it's not a gospel of good program. It's certainly not a gospel of good people. And it's not a gospel of a good production. What it is a gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gospel of the domain, the rule and reign of God in things and over things all of the time. And this is how Jesus told us we should pray. We should pray for this gospel to continue to be proclaimed. Remember when the disciples said, okay, well, if we're going to pray, how do we pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, you say like this, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your, what? Kingdom come. Jesus said, this is what you ought to be asking for. Like some of us are so saddened and heartbroken and fed up with all the crisis and tragedy that exists in the world around us. It's getting pretty dark, would you agree? So we want to cry out, Maranatha. We want to cry out, Lord, come quickly. But until we're about the business of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said it's a gospel we should have been praying for all along. Then the end has not yet come. And so we have a part to play. And Jesus said it's a part we ought to be praying for that God would entrust to you and me. And then the last remarkable reality that I think Jesus points out as he talks about the gospel being proclaimed, is this, it's not just proclaimed in some places. It's not proclaimed in the best places. It's a gospel of the kingdom proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. That means all people. That means you don't know the person who God doesn't want to reach. And you certainly are not that person. It's a gospel that's a testimony to all the nations. That means the gospel that has changed your life and mine is for all. In other words, what God has done in you, now watch this, lean in, doesn't terminate on you, right? What God has done in you does not stop with you, because if it stopped with you, it never would have reached you. It would have stopped with the person who shared to you. But it's a gospel that is for all. And so we have a part to play, because if the gospel has reached us, then God wants us to be a part of reaching others as well. And Jesus said, this is something God's going to do. It will be proclaimed. So then I want to share with you how we want to be about the business of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom right here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. How do we proclaim? In other words, what does this profound statement that Jesus declares mean to you and me? Well, the first way that we proclaim is we proclaim as we gather in worship. What we're doing right now, this is our adoration of God. This is our giving to God, our affection and our allegiance. Listen, I need to help right the ship because there's confusion in the church today about what worship really is and what worship is not. Some of us think worship is telling God what he needs to know, but that's not what worship is. Worship is declaring before God what it is that he deserves. The entire affection and allegiance of our lives. That's what worship is. And there's something supernatural that takes place, the proclamation that exists when we gather together and when we worship God. I could take you to a bunch of places in the scriptures that talk about the emphasis and necessity of God's people to embrace a heart of worship, but one place in particular stood out to me. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, King David has this moment of just worship before God, and he's leading God's people to embrace a spirit of worship as well, because David is so excited that the Ark of the Covenant, the place of God's presence with his people, had a permanent resting in Jerusalem. And David's so glad because now there's going to be a central location, a unified place where God's people can gather for the purposes of worship. And listen to how David extols the people of Israel to worship God, to give him the adoration that he is due. Listen to the words of the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 16, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And if your life has been changed by Jesus Christ, then let us give God, ascribe to him the worship and praise that he is due. It's not telling God what we think he needs to know. It's declaring before God the allegiance and affections of our heart, which is the entirety of what he deserves. And guess what? There's something supernatural that takes place in the church as we get to experience that gathering and worship together. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you a peek behind the curtain. There are some Sundays when your pastors walk in into this room or into the North Campus and we are discouraged. Did you know that? There's just some Sundays when we walk in the room and we have our head hung and maybe our heart is cold, and it could be the result of something that we're navigating at home. It could be that we're fighting a fear or an anxiety in our life. It could be that we've had a really difficult meeting that week at work. But there are just times when we walk in this room and our head is hung. And then we begin to hear the music start and the worship being sung. And while I don't know all the stories in this room, I know enough of them to know that when I look around and I might be in a season of discouragement or in a moment of discouragement in my life, and I look around and I see that someone is lifting their head in worship and lifting their voice in song, and I know that person has buried a child. And I look around this room and I see somebody lifting their hands in worship and giving to God their praise. And I know that person has seen a marriage in their life destroyed and another one reconciled. And when I look around this room and I see people who are navigating health crisis and financial crisis and depression and discouragement, and yet I could see you lifting your voice and raising your head and praising your hands. Listen, there's something supernatural that takes place in that. It is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom that has changed your life and given us a hope beyond the difficulty that this life may bring. And it happens when we gather. It happens when we gather in our worship. So this is one of the ways we proclaim here at Prestonwood. It's the reason why worship is so significant and central for us
as a church, because it's how we proclaim. This is our adoration of God. Beyond that, I would say we proclaim as we grow in life group. This is our transformation by God. You see, as the guy who speaks weekly in the big room, I'm telling you, one of the great blessings of the church is the small one. That when you get out of the big room and you connect with brothers and sisters who love Jesus and love you, and you get into the small room, you are experiencing something supernatural that God has given for his church uniquely to experience and enjoy. You know, in the last 10 years or so, there's become a very popular phrase that it's okay not to be okay. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm telling you, I think that phrase is incomplete. If it has a period at the end, it should have a comma. Because while it is true, it's okay not to be okay, it's not okay to stay that way. Because according to John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that you may have abundant life. And if you are in Christ, the abundant life begins the moment that transformation takes place. And one of the ways in which God gives us the abundant life is through the gift of biblical community. This is what we at Preston would call life group. And so today, some of you need to, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, recognize that you've been forfeiting one of the great blessings of your life. You are coming to worship and you are experiencing the proclamation in our gathering, but you are forfeiting the proclamation in your growing. And today, when we're dismissed, you need to go right out into the middle of the atrium to Guest Central. You'll see some huge balloon towers, and there are men and women and volunteers at that connection place who want to connect you into a small group, because God never intended for you to walk alone. He never intended for you and I to navigate the best moments of our life or the worst ones absent from the gift of community, the brothers and sisters of faith that he has entrusted to us in relationship, which happens in his church. It's been the testimony of my life and Mary's life for all of it. It's been significant. God has used biblical community to shape and to mold us to look more like Jesus than we would have if it were trying to do this by ourselves. I'll show you a picture. This is from the very first Wednesday night in December in 2011. I led a Wednesday night life group here on the Plano campus at that time. If that room looks familiar, it's from the W hallway on the second floor, just right here on the Plano campus. And Mary and I, on the Friday before, had just been given the diagnosis of our daughter Hannah, the one I showed you in the video at the start of the service today, that she had a very rare chromosomal abnormality, very significant health complications, and she was not expected to have much of a life. And so we were obviously devastated. And the very first Wednesday night that we gathered with our life group, after we had received that diagnosis, before I began to teach God's word, they called together a moment of prayer. And you can see me standing in the blue shirt. You can see Mary sitting with friends gathered around her. And people laid hands on us and called down heaven, because God never intended for his people to navigate life all alone. And some of you are here, and today needs to be the day when you choose, okay, we're all in with Preston Wood. We're going to find a life group. We're going to get connected in community, because God has given us the gift of his church. It's the way in which we proclaim here at Preston Wood. Here's the third way we proclaim. We proclaim not only as we gather and as we grow, but as we go on mission. This is the invitation of God. I am overwhelmed to think about the reality that God would allow me to be a part, any small part of the enormously redemptive work that he is doing in our world. Can you believe that? And here's why it shocks me that God would allow me to be any part of it, and it should shock you that he allows you to do the same. You ready? Because I know me. Like, I am not varsity level team Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? I cannot believe that God would ever allow me to be a part of something redemptive that he is doing, except that when he uses a knucklehead like Connor, then Jesus is the one who gets the glory. Right? And he's choosing to use you and I. He has drafted us onto the greatest team ever assembled in all of human history, and that is Team Jesus. And if you have been saved by God and filled with his Holy Spirit, then guess what? You're wearing that jersey too. Right? And he sends us to be a part of this proclamation as we go together on mission. Sometimes we do that across the street, and other times we do that around the world. This is what God has called and entrusted to you and to me, is that we want to be about the business of telling others what it is that God has done in us. This is what Jesus told the disciples just prior to his ascension into heaven. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore." The best rendering of that in the English language is "as you go" or "in your going." What are you supposed to do in your going? Make disciples. Baptize disciples. And then teach disciples. It's making and marking and molding people to look like Jesus who saved them. And this is what he has entrusted to you and to me. And we all have a part to play because we're all on Team Jesus. After all, Jesus told the assembled church when they were there in that upper room in Jerusalem, the place where they had been gathering with Christ prior to his passion and the crucifixion and his resurrection, they went back to that upper room in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses." Well, a witness is a person who declares what they believe to be absolutely true. And if you have been saved by God's grace through his son Jesus Christ, then you have been entrusted as a witness to tell other people that God wants to do the same good in them. This is the calling on the church. And when God saved me in 1998, as a junior in college, it never dawned on me all the places and the people that he would entrust to me and allow me to see as a part of Team Jesus. I have a picture from a mission trip I took in 2018. It's at a Burundian refugee camp. Burundi, if you didn't know, is the poorest country in the world. And I got to go with a group to Burundi in 2018 and had the opportunity to speak and tell others. And when God saved me in 1998, I couldn't spell Burundi, much less point it out on a map. And little did I know that 20 years later, God would allow me to be a part of taking the good news of the gospel that saved me to a desperate people on the other side of the world. And he's been entrusting us with opportunities like that every day since. But here's what's amazing, and this is how God works. I want to show you another picture from that refugee camp. This is a picture of a young man that has Down syndrome. And in Africa, it's rare to see individuals with significant disabilities and special needs for two reasons. One is access to adequate health care is often missing. And so, unfortunately, because of the medical complications, many of those individuals pass away. In addition to that, in most remote places, individuals born with significant disabilities or special needs are often believed to be accursed. And so they're abandoned at birth or left to die, as was this young man, who was living as an orphan in that Burundian refugee camp. He had been taken under by four mamas from four different families, and he was spending a little bit of time with each one as they were seeking to provide for his life. What he didn't know was that in 1998, God was going to save a guy in Texas, and that in 2018, God would send that guy to Burundi, East Africa. And in between, God was going to entrust to that guy two daughters with significant disabilities so that God would create in that guy a passion to see people who have been wired differently than everyone else. And so I was able to go all the way over on the other side of the globe and lay my hands on that little boy and pray Psalm 139 through that translator and tell him that the God of the universe loves him and the gospel of the kingdom is for him, and God sent me to proclaim to him that he can have life in Jesus Christ, because that's what God does. This is how we proclaim. And listen, you've got the same kind of stories in your life. If you're being honest and you think about all the ways in which God has woven the details of your story, the places he sent you, the people he's introduced to you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle all the ways that God has worked in your life and in mine, except that it's exactly what he said he would do. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. It's a work that we are privileged to witness, and I would tell you it's a work that God has called us to come alongside. And it's a work that he's entrusted to us together. You know, we're never intended to live in isolation, but rather God created us for community. This is the beauty of the New Testament church. It's God's people heralding God's grace, telling others about God's love, watch this, until God's return. This is the miracle of the proclamation of the gospel. And it's a work that God has called us to do together until the whole world hears. turn your attention to the screen.
Two. Prosper is currently ranked number 2 in the entire DFW Metroplex for total new home starts. 2,650. That's the number of house closings Prosper ISD expects per year from now through 2026. That means every year, over 2,600 families, couples, and individuals will move to our backyard. More people who need a friendly face, a new church home, a place to raise their kids. Let me share a few more numbers. 30%. That was our worship growth just last year. 46%. That's how much growth we experienced in kids ministry alone. Not to mention 26% in our students and 30% in our adult life groups. The harvest is plentiful. The desire for a church home is great, and the people are coming. As we've watched God multiply our church family and our surrounding area, I'm reminded of Matthew 24:14, which says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When we think about bringing the message of Jesus to all, we think of it in the context of our time, in our reach, in our neighborhoods. But to God, all includes those who are not here, those who have not yet moved here, and those who are not born here. But we know they're coming. And with their arrival comes an incredible opportunity, the opportunity to proclaim the good news of the gospel to more people, which is why we are launching a new initiative called Proclaim. Proclaim is the next phase in our campus expansion. But more than that, it is our opportunity to partner with God to reach all people in our neighborhoods and communities. We are so excited about what's ahead. While we're dreaming about how God wants us to use our entire 120 plus acres one day, our concentration with Proclaim is to expand our capacity so that we can create more encounters with Jesus.
It's a proclamation for us to reach more. We're not just building the church for those that are here, but for those that are not yet here.
We remember the very first worship that we set in. Both of us were in tears from the moment that we walked in until the moment that we walked out. It was so clear to us that this was where God had in place for us.
I look in the congregation, I see so many new faces, and I see this community growing, and it's such a huge opportunity, but it's overwhelming to me. It's emotional, right? Because we did this on faith, right? We knocked on doors trying to get people to come to the first service. And now to see it as big as it is, it's been an amazing experience.
In this phase, Proclaim will provide us with the opportunity for more parking, which will serve the whole church and expand our capacity for community-facing events. Our plan is to create new lots on the north and western sides of our campus. It's no secret that the fastest growing demographic of the North Campus is our young families. As a part of Proclaim, we will create more space in our children's area. This will provide us a state-of-the-art and safe ministry space for hundreds of kids, giving us a fun and creative environment for our kids to learn about the love of Jesus. Finally, we plan to expand our worship center and update the interior. This will increase our attendance capacity and also allow us to make some much-needed updates to our technology in order to elevate our worship experience. Proclaim is a big initiative with a big vision because we serve a big God. In total, we believe this project will cost close to $10 million. And we are excited to see how God will use our new space for all the people He will bring to our community and our church in the years ahead. From staff to members and everyone in between, our responsibility is to prayerfully consider how we might be a part of this next chapter at the North Campus.
God. coming to Prestonwood, I changed my career because that's what God wanted me to do, to be close to Him. There was a lot of fear, there was a lot of worries, which wasn't from Him, but Jehovah Jireh, our provider God, has provided us not just enough, but more than what it would have been if I went my own way. So, give is an exercise of faith.
Sometimes it's really easy to give out of your abundance, but when you give a sacrificial gift for the furthering of God's kingdom, and that's just what this is, this expansion and this opportunity, is that we give sacrificially because we know it's going to impact the very lives of the people that God's going to call here to do life right here at Prestonwood. Join in with us as we just see what God has for us as we launch into this Proclaim campaign.
Proclaim. What a powerful word to describe our hopes and prayers for this coming season at Prestonwood North Campus. God continues to entrust us with more and more opportunities to see lives changed. And let's be clear, lives are being changed by the supernatural power of Jesus. We are witnessing people set free from addictions, marriages restored, divorces redeemed, the lonely finding community and students stepping into a relationship with Jesus and surrendering to ministry. And then countless numbers of people discovering life in Christ, salvation that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we enter this new initiative, our desire is to proclaim the testimony of what God has already done through Prestonwood North Campus, to proclaim what He has done and is doing right now, and to proclaim what we know He will do. This initiative is our opportunity to partner with Him. And I look forward to how God will use each one of us in the days ahead to proclaim His good news to our community and to the world.
More are coming. More who will need to hear the good news. More who will then proclaim what God has done.
And we will be ready.
So there it is. That's the next step for us as a church. What I'm excited to introduce to you. So at Prestonwood, as I've shared, we proclaim as we gather in worship, as we grow in life group, as we go on mission. And I would tell you, we proclaim as we give together to the kingdom. This is our participation with God. You just heard the pastor say, we want to partner with a work that God is doing. And so I want to ask you, if you call Prestonwood Church your home, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider how God might be leading you to sacrificially give. I can tell you this, on behalf of every person that calls the North Campus Church our home, I want to thank you. There are so many of you in this room that sacrificially gave for a work that you would never personally be a part of. But God has honored that, and He is honoring that. And lives are being changed because you were willing to say yes and sow into something that only God would be able to see. And now look at what He has done. And so I'm asking that you would prayerfully consider yet again continuing to give to this great work that God is doing. And if Prestonwood is not your church home, then I just invite you to get excited with us and pray for us about what we think God has entrusted to us. I would tell you from the bottom of my heart, I believe this is the right and responsible next step for us as a church. And when it comes to thinking about sacrificial giving and financial generosity, I think we must be a people who shift our thinking from ownership to stewardship. Because we must recognize the Bible's clear teaching is that God owns everything and He has entrusted to us some things for a season of time. And so I want to be found faithful with what God has entrusted to me. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, we are to honor God with our wealth, and I want to do that. It speaks elsewhere in the New Testament about the necessity for us to think about our things and our finances in terms of eternity. Do you realize that what you have will not matter in a million years from now? But what we do with what we have sure could.
You know what I mean? And so when Paul writes to his younger brother in the faith, he writes to Timothy and he tells Timothy, encourage that young church that was experienced great financial blessing to think about their generosity in terms of eternity. This is the language of Paul to his younger brother, Timothy, 1 Timothy 6. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves as good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. We have an opportunity as a church to be generous toward a work that God is obviously doing. And where God leads, we believe completely He will provide. But I want to ask you to prayerfully consider, if Prestonwood is your church home, being a part of His provision with us. I am excited about the Proclaim Initiative, and I'm asking for your prayerful consideration about what God might be leading you to give as a part of His church. Now, before we dismiss this morning's service, I want to take a minute and just camp out on this word proclaim, because I really believe this. For some of you who are here today, I believe that what God has called me to proclaim to you is salvation. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so some of you are here today, and the reason why things in your life feel so disconnected is because the primary point of connection for which you were created, your connection with God, has never been found in Jesus Christ. And if you will simply acknowledge your sinfulness and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of that sin, Jesus lived the perfect life we couldn't live. He died a sinner's death that we deserve. He has risen in victory. He is ruling and reigning. And one day when the whole world hears, He will come again. And if you choose to exercise faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said your sins are forgiven and you are granted life everlasting with God. I believe for some of you who are here today, that are experiencing such difficulty in your life, God has sent me to proclaim salvation to you. I think there are others of you here, and you're in a season of discouragement. You're fighting a season of depression. It seems like your life is filled with one battle after another. I believe that God sent me here today to proclaim hope. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Did you know that God doesn't want you to have a little bit of hope? He wants you to have hope that overflows. And overflowing hope doesn't come from situation. Overflowing hope doesn't come from circumstance. Overflowing hope comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God wanted me to proclaim to you that there is hope in Jesus. So if you are navigating a difficulty in your life, you are struggling with a financial crisis, a health crisis, a mental health crisis, you are battling anxiety, depression, discouragement, despair, you are not intended to carry that alone. And there is an overflowing hope that is available to you in Jesus Christ. And so in just a moment, I'm going to give an invitation. And just as I invited those to respond and exercise faith and believe in God, I'm inviting you to come forward and let our staff know about the difficulty that you're having to endure. Let us pray with you and for you. No one at Prestonwood walks alone unless you choose to. Maybe today is a day you've been inspired by the baptisms that you saw this morning, and God has already done a wonderful inward change. You have received Jesus Christ as Savior, but now it's time for the outward expression of that good work, so you need to be baptized. Our church wants to schedule that and celebrate that with you. Or maybe you would decide, okay, I'm making Prestonwood my home. I'm going all in with Prestonwood. Here's what you should know. You ready? We're an imperfect group of people. We worship and serve a perfect God and King, and we believe at our conviction that we're better together. And so if God is calling you here to link arms with us, then I would say welcome home. Come forward and let us know about the decision that you have made. But that is the invitation. Receive Jesus as Savior. Come forward and receive hope that overflows in Christ Jesus. You don't have to navigate this by yourself. Let us know that you need to be baptized, or choose today to make Prestonwood your home. If God has laid something on your heart, then would you be obedient to respond and exercise faith in whatever that decision needs to be. I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, we'll stand and we'll worship together, and the invitation will be yours to respond. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have because the work that he has done. God, I pray for every person here that we will be obedient to respond and exercise faith. God, thank you for the proclamation of the gospel that says Jesus Christ saves. And may we be found faithful with everything that you have entrusted to us until the whole world hears. And then we know you are coming again. We love you. We trust you. We cannot do it without you. We pray to you and through you in Jesus' good name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.